Good to see everybody this morning. Let's jump right into this. After getting all of Pope Benedict's luggage into the limo, and he never packed light, the driver noticed that the Pope was still standing on the curb, and the driver said, "Excuse me, but would you please take your seat in the back?" And Pope Benedict said, "Well, to be honest with you, they never let me drive when I'm in that Pope-mobile, so I would like to drive. We won't have to tell anybody, and I'll make it worth your while." And the driver's like, "I don't know about that." Pope said, "Come on, I've always wanted to drive a limo." And the driver said, "All right, well, I'll get in the back for just a little while." Well, that was a mistake, because as soon as he did, the Pope put it to the floor and was going about 105 miles an hour when the cops pulled him over. So the cops pulled the limo over, walk up to the front window, down it goes, and the cop sees the Pope and says, "Excuse me, just 1 minute." Goes back to his car and calls his chief. He said, "Chief, I just pulled somebody over going 105. And the chief said, "Well, I hope you busted him." And the cop said, "No, said I couldn't do that. He's really important." And the chief said, "Well, who you got there, the mayor?" He said, "Nope, bigger than that." He said, "Who you got, the governor?" He said, "Nope, bigger than that." "How about the president?" "No, he's bigger than that." Chief said, "Well, who is it?" And the cop said, "I don't know who it is, but his chauffeur is the Pope." You know, I think through the years when it comes to the Holy Spirit, he's kind of viewed differently than the rest of the Godhead. It's almost like he's the chauffeur driving the two really important people around. So I thought for the month of October, since people are celebrating evil spirits and scary spirits and mean spirits, that we as a church maybe talk about and celebrate the Holy Spirit. This would be a good month to do that. So 5 sermon series that begins today. And I'll start with a prayer that Paul prayed, and I hope this becomes our prayer throughout the month. Ephesians 1, 18 and 19. "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe." There's a threefold prayer right there. Leave it up, Terry. That's my prayer for all three of us. Go ahead and go to the next slide. I'm sorry, Terry. "The hope to which we have been called, the riches we have in Jesus, and the incomparable power for believers." That's the one we will focus on in this sermon series. We have all the power, but the problem comes when we don't know how to use it, and we don't know where it's coming from. We know that Christians believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But we've treated the Holy Spirit not like the third member of the Trinity, but like a third wheel. If I were to ask you all, tell me what you know about God the Father, almost everybody in here could tell me something. Part of the Red Sea, gave the commandments to Moses, created the earth. How about Jesus, his son? You could tell me some of his miracles. You could tell me how he forgave that woman who was caught in adultery and told her to go sin no more. You could talk about how he died on the cross. But if I were to ask you about the Holy Spirit, I get the same blank stare that Kentucky football fans get. And I think I got a picture of one right here. Pull that up. There he is right there. I think somebody just asked this man, "Tell me what you know about the Holy Spirit." And he's like, "Huh?" Now, Terry, let me go back and grab the slide I missed, because I did the math on this. If you ignore one-third of the Godhead, you function at two-thirds capacity. That's just the math of it. So there are dimensions of joy and grace that can only be accessed by the power of the Holy Spirit, and we as a church need to plug in to that power. When I was a kid in youth group, my youth minister taught us about the Holy Spirit, and he said the Holy Spirit is like the spinach in Popeye's pipe. Remember Popeye, right? Am I getting too old or what? Tell me you remember Popeye. You know how he sucked that spinach through a pipe, which is a great feat in and of itself. And then he had all these biceps popping out, and he had the strength of 10 men. And that's what I was taught the Holy Spirit was like. Well, I don't think that's a great analogy. And then I had another youth minister who told me it's more like Aladdin's lamp. I wasn't real comfortable with that either. I get in a jam, I just rub it right. He'll pop out. If I need a parking space, he'll find me one. If the diagnosis at the doctor wasn't very good, he'll just make it change for me. It's not a very good description either. Who is this mysterious person referred to 88 times in the Hebrew Scriptures, 268 times in the New Testament? Who is he? So as we begin this, we're going to talk about the gift, gifts of the Spirit. We'll even delve into the miraculous gifts, tongues, and things like that. We'll talk about the fruit of the Spirit throughout this month. We'll talk about how the Holy Spirit unites us together as a church. But I feel like I should introduce him to you today, and that's going to be my goal. I'm just going to tell you who he is, all right? So let's start there. Number one, who is he? He's a person. He's a person who loves and cares about you. Now, I know we've been influenced by Star Wars, haven't we? At least Derek has. And I know we've got this, the force is with you. The Holy Spirit is not a force. He's a person. The best introduction to a person comes from another person who knows him well. So let me have Jesus tell you who he is. And I will ask the Father, Jesus said, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. Forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as him. He's not a force. He's not a feeling. He's not good karma. He's not mystic, not magic, not a burst of divine energy. He is a person who loves you. And we preachers struggle with analogies to the Holy Spirit. Some struggle more than others. I heard a preacher recently make the analogy that the Holy Spirit's like a wave in the ocean. They say the Holy Spirit goes in a certain direction, and you got to get on top of the wave and be carried along with it and ride it as long and as fast as you can. What do you think about that analogy? I don't like that either, and I'll tell you why. The wave doesn't care whether you're on it or not. The wave doesn't care if you fall. The wave doesn't care if you get hurt. The wave doesn't care if you become shark bait. The wave doesn't care at all about you. But the Holy Spirit, a person who loves and cares about you. Here's another thought. Who is he? He's a person who searches for things. Look at 2 Corinthians 2:10. Paul writes, these are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Searches the deep things of God. We're all searchers. That's why search engines were created. Do you know the number of servers that Google employs? Anybody? I'd be surprised. It was a well-kept secret for a long time, but it's not now. 2,376,000 servers. They use a search algorithm called PageRank Google. It crawls 20 billion websites every day and performs over 100 billion searches per month. That's a lot of searching. Some of us grew up with a library card catalog system, didn't we? A little bit different. We harbor a little resentment toward you young people, Corey, who have never had to search by subject, author, or title. My family's a little late when it comes to technology, but we're getting there. My cousins were the first in our family to build their own limousine. I got a picture of that. Check that out right there. Huh? Impressive, isn't it? And it runs. We're also the ones that came up with our family's TV trays. Check this out. I heard Charlie say, I bet that works. First time my uncle and my cousins went to the city, walked into a hotel, never been in a hotel before, never seen an elevator. Can you imagine seeing an elevator for the first time, not knowing what in the world's going on? They stood there, they watched an old man walk in, the doors closed, it made a sound, lights flashed, doors opened, and a young man stepped off. And they're like, what? They stood there and watched a middle-aged woman walk in, and after the same amount of time, an attractive 28-year-old woman walked out. My uncle said to my cousins, boys, go get your mama. Now, while all of this searching may make me a little bit resentful of how hard we had to search back in the day, I would say even with all the powerful search potential that we have technology-wise, it can't compare to the Holy Spirit search engine. He knows everything. He knows about everything. Every subconscious memory you've ever had, every subliminal desire, he knows it. The value of pi to the 10th millionth decimal and beyond, I don't even know what I just said, but you name it, he knows it. He knows it. The defining of right and wrong. And here's where I want to go with this. Since he searches for all things, he knows the truth about everything. So don't tell me that you can have your truth and I can have my truth when the Holy Spirit has searched all things, knows all things. He can help us determine right from wrong, every single one of us. You've probably heard stories about Viktor Frankl. I'd be surprised if you haven't. He wrote 39 textbooks. He's a Holocaust survivor. Was in a concentration camp for several months. And brilliant mind. He was a neurologist and a psychiatrist prior to World War II. And after he survived the concentration camps, he came to America and traveled, spoke. Listen to what he said. This was his observation. We need to balance the Statue of Liberty in New York with a Statue of Responsibility in California. Isn't that good? I agree. Now, I want you to hear me this morning. Whatever your political affiliation is, it's obvious that we are living in a country that values choice over responsibility. And for those who founded our country, liberty and responsibility walked hand in hand. But no longer. You see it on the nightly news. It's my body. Don't tell me what to do. Listen to how that argument is framed. It's my body, so I can decide what to do. Well, if you're a Christian and the Holy Spirit has filled your life, then let me remind you of 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. So the argument itself falls on its face. Not my body. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. The truth is, any society that divorces liberty from responsibility will soon lose liberty. And when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, after searching for everything, it's like when we were little kids, we put fingers in our ears so we don't have to hear Him. But I want you to hear me. Good theology is compatible with good psychology and good biology. And there's a growing group of people in our country that are promoting reincarnation. And at first I thought it was silly and funny. I don't think that anymore. We have kids growing up in our educational system identifying as animals, and we are allowing this subgroup of people to be created called furries. And again, it ain't funny anymore. I went to the website. It's all about reincarnation. And you can lead your classmates in school today around on a leash in a public school. And if they don't want to answer the teacher, they can bark at them or they can make some animal sound. And not only is it being tolerated, it's being promoted. An entire generation of kids being fed bad theology in church, bad psychology and biology in school. And we've got to do anything we can from letting them be indoctrinated into this nonsense, because 20 years from now, they're going to be adults, and they're going to be so sad and so angry that adults lied to them 20 years ago. Adults encourage them down this ridiculous path without challenging these ungodly ideas. Listen. We cannot change the laws of nature because we did not create the laws of nature. God did. And the Holy Spirit is a person who has searched all things, all angles, the Republican angle, the Democratic angle, all angles. The Holy Spirit has searched and brings to us the truth of God. He's a person who loves and cares about us. He's a person who searches. Thirdly, he's a person who has a will and a mind. Paul wrote something interesting to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 12. All these are the work of one, talking about the gifts, work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. The Holy Spirit is the one who looks out at the church and says, you know what, I need to give that person the gift of administration, because he can really help bring that church together and make that church function. I need to give that Karen Johnson the gift of encouragement, because I know she'll use it for the benefit of the body, and I need to give that guy the gift of music, and I need to give that lady the gift of teaching. And that's how the Holy Spirit works, and they're not gifts that are given for your own selfish purposes. They're given for the strengthening of the body. Same with salvation. I never feel worthy to be doing what I'm doing. I don't. That's why I try to be as honest as I possibly can about how weak and unfit and unworthy I am and have been. Never want to give you all any delusion that your preacher has it all figured out and has his life all together. That's never been the case as long as I've been your preacher. Always struggle. But here's the thing. I realize that, and that in and of myself, I can't get anything done. I'll screw it up. I'll mess it up. I'll find a way to make something simple complicated. But when the Holy Spirit came into my life, and I leaned into him, that opened a world of possibilities. I mean, things I could have never, ever been a part of or done or thought of doing, all because of the power that the Spirit has brought into my life. Isaiah 64, I'm always drawn to this. This is a great passage. All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. That's pre-Holy Spirit right there. That's all of us. I saw a video a few years back, actually, about these group of kids in Paraguay who made instruments out of garbage. They're called the Landfill Harmonics, and I've got a little video I want to show you. It's pretty cool. Check this out.
¿Entienden? Bueno, entonces tienen que atender.
Kids in Paraguay actually made all of the instruments out of trash.
Look at this. That's a fork, people.
Let the gift of music shine through tonight on that stage.
Edgar lives in Paraguay, and he is wise beyond his years. He's a 15-year-old who's part of the group, and they interviewed him, an American reporter did, and listen to what this young man said, a 15-year-old young man. You look at my instrument, and all you see is trash. If I leave it sitting on the bed or in the corner, anyone who saw it would think it was trash. But when I pick it up and play it and the music comes out, no one ever sees it as trash again. That's how I feel about what God has done with me. No one would have ever looked at me and thought I have value or worth. But when I let the Spirit of God into my life, I began to do things I've never done before. And now I have a purpose, I have value, I have worth, not because I'm anything special, but because of the special that God has put into me. Isn't that good? Amen and amen to that. And that's what we have as believers in Jesus. We're capable of so much more when the Holy Spirit is in our lives and we're open to His leading. We have the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives to overcome that sin that holds us down, those thoughts that hold you back, that addiction that has locked you up for years. You have the Holy Spirit in your life. That means you have the power to say no. That means you have the power to be strong. It means you have the power to put down the bottle. It means you have the power to turn the channel. It means you have the power to look the other way. It means you have the power, believe it or not, to bite your tongue. It means you have the power to resist the strongest of temptations. In a world where everyone is a victim and no one is responsible, I want to preach to every believer in Jesus, you're not a helpless victim with no choices and no chance. You are a born again, blood bought, grace filled, hope infused, spirit filled, bound for glory child of God, and we need to start acting like it. Amen. He lives in us, the person who loves and cares for us and searches all things, person who has a will and distributes gifts to the church, lives in us. He has a mind too. Romans 8:27 tells us that. He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit, check this out, intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Have you ever been so down when tragedy came into your life or circumstances got beyond your control that you just didn't even know what to ask God for? Man, I have. I have multiple times in my life. I knew I should pray, and I was feeling the need to pray, but I didn't know what to say, because I was either angry at God or frustrated by my circumstance. I just didn't know what to say. And when I'm talking to God, I want to be careful not to say the wrong thing. So passages like the one we just read are comforting to me, because what that means is when Mark is tongue-tied, that the Holy Spirit can figure out what it is that Mark wants and needs and verbalize that to Almighty God. He can do that because he's a person who has a will and a mind. And I will always trust the Spirit's intercession more than I will trust my own intuition, because deep down in my heart, I want what God wants. And the Spirit talks to the Father for me. Here's a fourth thing. Who is he? He's a person who has emotions. We never want to consider this, because, you think of the Holy Spirit as some energetic force, but he's a person with emotions. Check out Romans 15, verse 30. I urge you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, there it is, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. He's a person with real emotions. He can be offended, he can be lied to, he can be grieved, he can be happy, he can be sad, he can be angered, he can be joyful. He is a person who has emotions. Now consider that. And this is important, because this is what separates us from Eastern religions. With Eastern religions, the whole thing is you empty yourself, empty your mind, empty your thoughts, your heart, empty all of that in your meditation. But with the Christian, it's completely different. We're not talking about empty. We're talking about filling ourselves. Filling ourselves with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God. Eastern religions approach God by meditation. The meditation is to empty your mind, your heart, so that you can get in touch with this force. We, however, fill our mind with the words of God and allow the Holy Spirit to occupy every area of our lives. Now, I'm a simple person. You all know that by now. And I like simple explanations and illustrations. So, I dug into the archives this week. This will show my age. This is Alka-Seltzer. And I remember the commercial, right? Plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Have you ever heard that in your life, Corey? No. Big baby. Alka-Seltzer. I get off track because I have ADD, but I was in Kentucky a couple weeks ago, and I had breakfast with a man, and he had a 10 Folgers coffee can. I ain't seen one in a while. And he took his Folgers coffee out of the can. I'm like, is that really Folgers, or did you put something else in there? I mean, all these people drinking flavored coffee and Starbucks and all. He's like, "Mah," and Folgers coffee. So I told him about the boy who wanted to give his grandma breakfast in bed. And he took up to her toast and jelly and her coffee cup full of coffee, but he put these little green army men that he'd been playing with in the coffee. And so grandma's eating her toast, and she's so thankful he brought her breakfast in bed, and she takes her coffee, and she sees these green army men, and she's like, well, what'd you do that for? He said, it's like the commercial says, the best part of waking up is soldiers in your cup. Anyway, back to the Alka-Seltzer. So I'll show you, and I'm not meaning to insult your intelligence, I promise. Talitha always tells me keep it simple. This is as simple as it gets right here. I'm going to drop Alka-Seltzer in both glasses, all right? First of all, we're going to drop it in this glass. See that? Thank you. No, see, there it is, all right? Now, we're going to drop it in this glass, too. Only we're going to take it out of the package and drop it in this glass. We'll see what happens, and I sure hope this works. Come on, Bubbles, do your thing. Ah, oh, there it is. See that? Now, I will not drink it. That is not part of the illustration. There's Alka-Seltzer in this glass. You can't argue that there's not. There is. It's connected to the water, but it's not altering the water. It's connected to the water here, but it's altering the water. This is the Christian right here, and I'll call him or her a Christian who does come to church, who claims some kind of relationship with God, but never really does more than what we see here. This is it right here. And there's so much more for you. So much more power, so much more available if you'll just go a little deeper, if you'll just work a little harder and take it out of the package. Unwrap it. Let it do what it's supposed to do in your life. Let the Holy Spirit pervade and come into your life and fill every part of it. And if you do, then He'll be able to do the work that He came to do. He makes us better than ourselves. He makes me wiser beyond my understanding, stronger beyond my own power, gives me gifts beyond my own abilities. I'll tell you that. He makes us the best we could possibly be because that's who He is. Let me close with this. Who is He? He's a person who is God all around us. The writers of the Bible speak of the Holy Spirit having the same attributes as God. And we know that God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, they are three in one. I like Acts chapter 5. Corey had us study this when we went through the book of Acts, where Ananias and Sapphira lied about their offering and then were struck dead in church, which to me probably gets the offering up better the next week. But anyway, if you put verse 3 and 4 together, Acts 5:3 says, Peter talking to them says, "You lied to the Holy Spirit." And then the very next verse, "You lied to God." And Peter's making the connection that by lying to one, you lied to the other. Now, I know the doctrine of the Trinity is confusing and murky. I get that. We can't understand it. I've tried. I've tried to come up with good illustrations and analogies. I don't sleep at night. These are the kind of things that I think about, although that's a little deeper than I normally think. I'm a simple person, and my head explodes when it comes to doctrines like the Trinity. I mean, I laid awake for a week one night trying to figure out how they got the white stuff on the inside of Twinkies. That's the kind of stuff I think about right there. So. Or if a turtle loses its shell, is it naked or homeless? That's the kind of stuff. If someone with multiple personalities threatens to kill themselves, is that a hostage situation? I mean, I can't stop with that stuff. Or if a man speaks in the forest and there's no woman to hear him, is he still wrong? Stuff like that. So I can't comprehend the teaching of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. It's difficult. So I like it when one of the Bible writers or some of the Bible writers put all three in one verse, which is kind of cool. And Paul did that for us, 2 Corinthians 13:14. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. One God eternally exists in three distinct persons. For 45 years, I've studied about the Trinity, and here's the only conclusion I've come up with. It should come as no surprise that the three-in-one nature of God is something that our human minds cannot comprehend, and here's where I'm at. We should be surprised, however, if we could understand the nature of our Creator, because that would make Him a two-bit deity, not the awesome, amazing source of reality that He truly is. I'm kind of happy I don't understand, because that means God is so much more than I could ever imagine. You know, just because we don't know everything does not mean that we can't know some things. And there's so much for me to know. And I don't want to waste time being anxious about what I don't know. So here's what I know. I know this. The Holy Spirit is a person who loves and cares about you. And the Holy Spirit is a person who searches for things. And the Holy Spirit is a person who has a will and a mind. And the Holy Spirit is a person who has emotion, and He's a person who is God all around us. Ann was a photographer who was supposed to be in a meeting in the World Trade Center on the South Tower on September 11, 2001. The meeting got canceled a few hours before it was supposed to take place, so she didn't go. She was in New York, and she watched the horror on the news. She couldn't believe it. And imagine the emotion of someone who was supposed to be in one of those buildings, but because of a canceled meeting, they weren't. I can't imagine what she must have been thinking. Well, she wasn't there. And she will tell you, she isn't sure it was God who got her meeting canceled, because that's what all of her church people told her. God got your meeting canceled, so you would still be... Well, she struggled with that, and I do too. Because her first thought was, what about all the other people that didn't get their meetings canceled? It's not cut and dry, church folk. There's some difficult issues here. So she doesn't know, and she admits it, and I appreciate that, if it was God who canceled her meeting. And she's not sure if it was God who made the cross form out of the busted metal that they found at Ground Zero either. So she takes her camera down there, she took a picture, and then she shares this. She says, what I am sure of is my life was spared that day, and the cross gives purpose to my life today. She said, I do know that. And here's what I can promise every one of you. Your life will always be better with the Holy Spirit in it than your life would ever be without Him. So we need to invite Him into our church and into our lives. I want you to say it with me this morning. He's not some life force. He's a person who wants to be here with us. So let's say it together. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this church. Say it again. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this church. Amen.